Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
All right, welcome to the Side Action Podcast, episode one. My name is Jim Weglars. They call me Wegs. My background is I'm a sports fanatic on every level. I coach, I play fantasy, I gamble a little bit, not as much as my co-host here, but really excited to get this thing going to teach some people how to do some gambling.
Yeah, that's right. Steve Roberts here. My nickname is Steve O, also known as Steve Action Roberts. I'm sitting here with Jim, and we're really pumped to get this thing going and teach you all how to gamble a little bit. This podcast, we're going to try to attempt to educate the uneducated sports bettors on the basics of betting and how you might be able to turn a small profit and add an additional amount of fun and excitement into your normal sports watching routine.
We're not going to sit here and just hand out picks every week. It's our goal to provide you with the best information and tools possible to increase your awareness of sports betting, and hopefully we'll be able to pick some games with your newfound knowledge.
A profitable sports bettor, really, you only have to win about 53% of the time. The number is actually a little bit less than that. So the idea is, over time, we're going to give you guys the tools to figure out how to pick games that might win more often than not. Because the bottom line is, you're not going to win every bet you make, and you certainly don't expect to either. As long as you know how to pick games and look at winners and read sports correctly, you're going to win more often than not. And that's the end goal.
Yeah, and for me, it's a recreational activity, so you want to have fun doing it. You want to obviously beat your friends, but as Action here does, he actually wins some units on the system. So,
so we're going to talk a little bit about how sports gambling came into be and the federal laws and state laws surrounding sports gambling, because as you all may know, there recently was a federal ruling that repealed an act known as PASPA.
Yeah, 1992, PASPA, or the Pro and Amateur Sports Protection Act, basically prohibited states from legalizing sports gambling. And so, as Action said, May 14, 2018, the Supreme Court overturned that and gave that right back to the states to decide if they wanted to regulate gambling on a state-by-state basis. So right now, as it stands, everybody knows you can bet in Nevada. There's actually four other states you're going to be able to bet this year. New Jersey was the first to jump in, and then also Delaware. Yeah, we've got a couple other states that jumped in this summer as well. Delaware has three state-run casinos as of June 5th. You can put in sports betting there. In September 1st, West Virginia will jump aboard, and you'll be able to bet at their five state casinos. And then finally, October 1st in Rhode Island, They're going to have some casinos where you're going to be able to bet there as well. Some that are falling a little bit behind, but they're going to get there, are New York. It is legal to do sports gaming there. However, they're going to reintroduce the regulations so they can figure out how to get it going. Some older states that had grandfathered in the act was Montana and Oregon. Oregon does not have an active sports gaming process now. Montana does. They have a fantasy game that basically needs legislation to extend it into regular sports gambling.
Jim, I got a question. Sure. I live here in Illinois, in Chicago, as do you. Mm-hmm. Can I gamble here in Illinois?
Not yet. Not yet, Action. If we go down the list here, Illinois is one of the states that has proposed legislation. However, it was introduced and that did not get in. So it's dead in the state of Illinois currently. However, it is expected in the November election this fall that it will be a big topic on the docket for the new governorship.
Well, you can bet I'm going to be going to the polls for that.
As am I. But actually, if according to my list here, at the end of 2019, you have about 23 states where you're going to have gaming or sports gambling that's going to be legalized. Variety of, you know, we can post this somewhere. I don't know, we'll figure it out. Basically, there's a list that I've put together of showing all the different states and where they are in the process, so you can figure out where you're at in your state.
Yeah, I mean, those of you who are in New Jersey, maybe you've tried to go and place a wager already. I know I've read there's a few racetracks and books throughout the state that are already accepting wagers. So hopefully you guys are already stacking those units.
That's right. One of the things I wanted to ask you, Action, so since you've been pretty active before the legislation, what do you see as the difference between betting, you know, the legalized way through these state gaming boards or these books versus what you're doing online or some other method?
Well, I think the main difference is just going to be the competition. Now, at this point, those of us who live outside of Nevada prior to PASPA have only been able to gamble online or the offshore bookmakers that offer odds and spreads. And a lot of them really are kind of falling in line with each other in terms of what spreads they're offering and lines and the VIG or the juice. And we'll go through some of these definitions later in the show. But to me, I think I'm just excited to see what the competition is going to bring, because there's going to be so many more bookmakers now that there you'll be able to shop around and find good lines all the time.
Right. Yeah, I understand that could be a difference. You can find some inefficiencies in those lines. One of the things that on a state-by-state basis they're trying to figure out is how the states, of course, are trying to use this to create a revenue stream in their state. So in some cases, it's a fee. It's called an integrity fee that casinos are going to have to pay it in order to make it work. And then in others, it's a pretty high tax. Like Pennsylvania, for example, is trying to get over the fact that they're trying to charge a pretty high tax to the casinos to make it work. So there is maybe a potential difference in not just the lines being set, but you know, the minimum wagers or something that you see.
Yeah, and also I've read, too, where some of the professional sports leagues are going to be trying to take a cut, too. So there's going to be some negotiation there, too, whether you're betting on the NBA or NFL, you may be paying an extra additional tax on top of your normal 10%.
Yeah. I think in the long run, at least, one of the reasons why I wanted to start this podcast was we think that betting, you know, sports betting is going to be just part of everyday life. Where you're going to watch your games on TV and you're going to see the lines on TV. You may even have interactive televisions with your Apple TV or something where you can actually bet on the, you know, on the TV itself, you know, while you're watching your NFL game. Or there's going to be apps, you know, in stadium experiences where you can, you know, use an app to make a bet on the game in real time, which is going to be a fundamental difference in how we consume the sport now.
So could you sit in the first row of an NBA game, make a bet, and then try to heckle the player from the other team to win yourself some money?
I guess you could, man. I mean, that's one way to try to control it.
I like that idea.
I mean, one of the things, I have never been to England. You've been to England before?
I've never been to England. No, Europe once, but just France and Italy.
I've just heard that at least with the soccer, and, you know, Action's a big soccer guy, they have all these betting kiosks at all the different games or at the stadium, so you can just make bets before you go in or at halftime and so on. So I think it's going to be an exciting difference in how we experience sports in the U.S.
Do you think, Wags, that any of these books will offer odds on the Revere Park 16-inch softball league?
Let's hope. We got a big quarterfinal match on Thursday and then the semis, so my odds are on us for sure.
The Free Swingers are favorites to win the competition.
That's right. Well, you know the Free Swingers are going to swing at every pitch. That would be the over-under on pitches seen is going to be the under for sure.
All right. Well, now that we've talked a little bit as to why we're doing this podcast, again, our goal here is not to hand out picks all day, every day, although we obviously have picks. Mm-hmm. I certainly do. We know that. But, you know, we're really trying to educate those who have never been into gambling before. You might be a sports fan. You've been watching the NBA or the NFL since a young childhood, and now you're interested in maybe betting some games, getting some action in. So, Jim, Wags, tell me, what kind of games have you bet on in the past?
Well, I will say when I was a Ute, when I was like a seven-year-old, my uncle was a pretty big bettor, I think. He was always asking me to pick games, and I was pretty good back then. But since then, I don't really bet a ton. I mean, I'll do it informally with friends. It's more just somebody will give me odds on a particular game. Although I do use the information for fantasy purposes, I don't really bet regularly on straight up lines and games and over-unders and things like that. So
okay. And for those of you who don't know the term, odds, or handicap also as it's called, would be the ratio of the amount that you bet versus the amount you might win if the outcome of the game you wagered on comes through. So it means basically the probability of an expected outcome of a game or a match. In most shops, you get odds of minus 110, which means that when you're making a bet, if you were to bet $110, if you win the bet, you would get 100 back. And that 10% cut is what the house typically takes on any given wager. And it's also known as the VIG, the V-I-G. Anytime you're losing a bet, you're going to be losing 11 for every 10. If you win, you're only getting $10 back.
Now, action, is that what they call the money line when you put that out there?
No, that would be a spread bet for the most part. There are other options that you could choose, which are known as money lines. And in those cases, you're picking a particular team to actually win the game. Mm-hmm. So there's no spread involved. You wouldn't have the New England Patriots minus 10, for example, would be a spread bet. Mm-hmm. Now, if you wanted to bet New England to win every game, or any game for that matter, you're probably going to pay a premium. Most cases, they're going to be minus 200 or minus 300 favorites. And in that case, that means that you would have to bet $200 to win 100 or 300 or even more in some cases.
Mm-hmm. And so at this point, all the spreads or money lines, bets or over-unders that you see are all coming out of Vegas, correct?
That's right, yeah. Well, if you're betting in person, you're in Vegas or Reno or anywhere in Nevada for that matter. Also New Jersey nowadays, but the other options for gambling primarily have been in what we call offshore sportsbooks, which are primarily websites that are housed in the Caribbean islands. Most of them are in Antigua. Mm-hmm. So you'll see that the websites have AG at the end. It's obviously not a U.S. property. So initially, all of the sportsbooks were housed there so they could circumvent the U.S. laws.
Mm. Okay. And so that's just kind of an online account that you set up with a credit card or something like that, and you put in your information, and then you can draw down on that.
Yeah, I mean, there are several options for funding the accounts. Obviously, credit cards work, Visa for the most part. Mm-hmm. Recently, I've been funding my accounts with cryptocurrency.
Okay.
There's less fees there typically, especially now, because the fees for Bitcoin or the Ethereum network are down to zero, and you can move money in and out of a gambling account for no fee whatsoever. Which is quite brilliant, because in the past, you were paying like a 7 or 8% tax on every Visa transaction.
Okay. So for our new bettors, our novice bettors here, what would you say would be the best bets to focus on initially?
I would say that you should probably gravitate towards a team that you think is on a good run or a good streak, whether you're into the NFL or baseball or soccer. There, you can honestly find teams that might be on a little bit of a hot streak. Mm-hmm. And if you ride them out, I think that's a good way to get into it initially. I would recommend staying away from just betting on your favorite team every week. I'm a Colts fan, unfortunately.
You got the shirt on to prove it right now.
Yeah, Colts on tonight against the Ravens. For those of you who don't know, we're recording this on Monday, August 20. The show may come up a little bit later this week, so that information will be outdated a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So let's go over some more of these terms. So we've talked a little bit about favorites. Okay, you talked about that. So mm-hmm. what is an over-under? What is that exactly?
So the other option that you have in terms of betting is the totals, oftentimes known as over or under. Instead of picking a team to win or a spread per se, you might pick the total amount of points scored in the game. So a line will come out in a football game, particularly would be in the 40s. Tonight's game is 42 points. So if you pick the over, that means you're betting on the two teams' combined score to go over that number. And that's for the full game. If you're betting the under, then you might be looking for more of a defensive battle where those two teams come under the total. Mm-hmm. It's just another way to look at the game. For those of you who like high-scoring contests, you might be a gravitational over-better. And historically speaking, usually squares or novice bettors like the overs because they cheer for points. Mm-hmm. And those who are more professional-oriented and sharp money, as it were, are more under-betters typically.
I gotcha. So, yeah, I've done a few over-under bets myself. And, I mean, for me, I like to look at the over-unders for a lot of reasons. But I do think you can kind of gauge the way a game's going to go, and you have a better guess at maybe betting a point spread, because sometimes that's really tight, especially in the NFL. I know we'll talk later or maybe another episode about how you think the new rules in the NFL are impacting the over-unders, and I know I've heard that out in the street. So it's interesting.
Yeah, initially I think the 15-yard helmet-to-helmet penalties and the roughing the passer, I mean, even the other night you saw – in one of the preseason games, Russell Wilson get driven to the ground, and there was a 15-yard penalty that normally wouldn't be called. So early on, even the preseason, you're seeing some higher-scoring games because offenses are benefiting from the extra 15 yards. Mm-hmm. They're going to extend drives. They're going to end up scoring more points as a result. Mm. I'm interested to follow, see how it goes. In fact, I ran some numbers here, and through the first 2 weeks of the preseason, the overs led in week one, 11-5. And there was a little bit of regression here in week two where the overs only went 6-9. Week three, though, is when the starters play a little bit more, and I'm interested to see how the totals pan out.
Right, right. Absolutely. Let's go over some more of these terms that you got here. Okay, so fade. Fade or follow. What is that exactly?
All right. So when you say that you're fading a gambler or a team, often you'll see a lot of people online on Twitter and the internet space who claim to be great sports bettors, and they're going to post their plays. And those of you who might be early and novices to the space, you might follow these guys. You say, wow, so-and-so's hit 9 games in a row, or so his Twitter feed says. And if you choose to follow that gambler, then that would be that term. You would follow them. I wouldn't recommend that. The other option that you have is to fade. And fading just simply means that you're going to go against the gambler. You could also say that you're fading a certain team. One team in particular that I'm fading early on in the season as a soccer bettor in the English Premier League is Manchester United. They look like garbage right now. They had a horrible preseason, so I, for one, am going to be fading them for many weeks here to come until they turn it around at least.
So I'm familiar with the term in more of a fantasy sense and daily fantasy sense where you're fading a player or a team. Mm-hmm. Does it work the same way? So, for example, if the action, so to speak, if there's a lot of people betting, like on a Super Bowl, a lot of people like to bet the favorites, right? So there's a ton of people that go on the Patriots or whoever it is in that given year. Is there an advantage to fading the field, so to speak, since you know so many people are going after the favorite?
Yeah, well, Wags, I'm glad you asked. There is. Historically, especially even more so now, as sports gambling becomes more and more prevalent around the U.S., there's going to be a ton of novice gamblers, those of you on our podcast, no offense, you're going to be picking favorites, and it is profitable to fade the public, so to speak, where you're going against that popular public side, whether it's the New England Patriots, probably not a good example recently because they do win a lot. But and there are some tools that we'll talk about as we go on in this podcast that you can use to find those public betting percentages. And if you see a team that's getting 70-80% of the bets, oftentimes, if you're going against them, you're going to be winning more often than not. And that's what the sharps do in the pros.
That's right. Yeah, and oftentimes the lines are moving, right, based on how many people are betting on them. So we could talk later about how early money, late money, or whatever, when people are betting early on, the line may be lower, it might be tighter, so to speak, and then it might move up or down depending on where people are betting, like, again, to try to fade the public. So that's great. What about bankroll? So, I mean, this is something I'm concerned with personally. I'm, you know, going through a second divorce here. I don't have a ton of money to put out there, but I do want to gamble. So what about this bankroll?
Well, I, for one, would make sure you keep your bankroll private from your soon-to-be ex-wife. So, bankroll just simply means the amount of cash that you have in your gambling budget, right, per se. So a gambler's bankroll would be their set aside money, and I would preface this by saying you should definitely set aside some money if you're choosing to get into this field. We certainly don't recommend that you wager any money that you're not willing to lose. So your bankroll is essentially the amount of money that's at your disposal for gambling on games or contests. And I would say the key to becoming a good gambler is bankroll management. You need to protect your bankroll at all costs. And what does that mean? It means being picky with the plays that you make. Too often, novice gamblers will jump in and just make a ton of plays. They might bet on 8 baseball games in one day. Mm-hmm. And the key to good bankroll management is picking games that you feel like you have an edge in. it doesn't help you to go and bet on a ton of games where you just want to have action. You need to kind of pick your spots. And it goes with saying, too, if you have good bankroll management, when you do identify that spot that you have an edge, it gives you more cash to lay down on that team.
Right. What I would say for myself, the way I approach gambling is kind of the way I approach anything. I'm looking at entertainment, so I kind of budget an amount of money that I would be willing to do entertainment. I would be willing to have a night out, you know, or a weekend with the guys. And if that's okay to lose because I'm going to spend it drinking or, you know, whatever, then that's okay. For me, I've done a lot of daily fantasy stuff. You have to manage the bankroll. And my goal for daily fantasy, I usually put in an amount of money for the whole season. And so I have to, as Action says, kind of parse that out each week and be disciplined on how much I'm going to, you know, put out there to lose. Because anytime you make a bet, you have to be willing to lose that amount. And that way, in the long run, you'll still have money for the next week, so you can try again.
Yeah, another thing that often happens with early novice gamblers too is they might lose two or three games in the morning per se, like in the NFL season, the early games. Mm-hmm. A lot of people then will try and chase in the afternoon and double, triple, and quadruple their bet sizes because they feel like they got to win it back that day.
Right.
And that's never a good strategy. It oftentimes will lead to big losses. And the idea is to kind of keep that unit size or that wager size the same throughout your, especially early on. That way you can win it back slowly over time. You don't have to win it all back in one pick.
Right, and you said earlier at some point it's a marathon. So if you want to play like the entire season of NFL, you know, start with an amount in mind and say this is my budget for the year or the season and work through it and be okay to lose. I mean, that's the problem. You got to be able to walk away and lose because you can come back and win. But if you blow it all on the first weekend, then you're in trouble, and then you're like me, second divorce. That's not why I got divorced.
Like you said, I mean, it's a long season, not just the NFL season. Mm-hmm. There's other sports that we're going to talk about in the future on this podcast, too. My bread and butter, college basketball. Can't wait for November 10th.
Okay.
Right around the corner. You know, in the meantime, the first couple of weeks here, we're definitely going to talk a lot about the sports that are ongoing. You know, NFL, college football starts up on Labor Day weekend. You've got baseball. You've got soccer around the world. You can bet on almost any soccer game that you want, depending on the offshore site or even out in Vegas as well.
Let's go over a couple more terms, and then we can get into some other stuff. I see here that you got hedge. So what does that mean in terms of a gambler? What does hedging mean?
Okay, so hedge is what also a bush, but in gambling parlance, hedge means when a gambler sees an opportunity to bet on the other side of a wager that he or she has made in order to lock in profit, so to speak. So a type of bet that we'll talk about later on is maybe a futures bet. For example, if you bet on Wisconsin to win the Big Ten championship and you make that bet this week, per se, and I don't recall the odds off the top of my head, but we'll certainly go over that in one of the future episodes. And you have $10 to win 50, let's say. Wisconsin has a great run throughout the season, and they win at Penn State, and they make the Big Ten championship. And let's say they're playing an underdog, maybe their favorite against Michigan, per se, after Urban Meyer gets fired. Then what you could do in that case is if Wisconsin wins, you're going to make $50. So in order to hedge, you might make a smaller bet on Michigan, the other side, to cover your initial wager of 10. And that way, if Michigan wins, you're still going to be in the money. Right. So essentially, you're locking in that profit.
Yeah, so that sounds like a good way to be strategic in your betting, not just, hey, I want to win every time, but you're kind of figuring out, it's almost like another way to manage that bankroll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like we talked about bankroll management, as a gambler, the key to being more profitable is having that bankroll. So the next time a good opportunity rolls around, you're going to have money that's ready to go.
That's awesome. All right, last one. I don't know this one, so I have to ask you this one. This steam move. I don't know this steam move term. This is new for me.
All right, so we talked a lot about professional money, and we haven't really, but there are obviously tons of professionals in the space who have been sports gambling for a very long time. One name in particular you may have heard of, Billy Walters. He is one of the biggest dogs in sports gambling. there are many like Billy who are unnamed, and a lot of them actually work in groups. So they will pool all of their money, and these guys are professional gamblers. They know what they're doing. They oftentimes have a lot more information than you or I might. Mm-hmm. And you can see there are certain apps and online resources that you can use to see how lines might move. And a steam move is another term which indicates professional money. And it's oftentimes when a line moves unanimously across many sports books at the same time. Mm-hmm. So you might see the spread go in an Alabama football game from minus 10 to minus 7 just at the drop of a hat. That would indicate some sharp money in most cases and a steam move. It doesn't always pay off to follow the steam moves, because as we talk about later, you always want to get the best of the number. If you see it drop that quickly, obviously you are maybe too late to the party.
Gotcha. So well, let's transition a little bit more into the specific sports, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
So we, you know, as Steve said, or actually said, we've got the NCAA football starting this week.
The first games actually are this weekend, but I think it's kind of like the Division II. Like, I know they're
Our
not
Lady
real
of the
Division
Worthless
II.
Miracle. Yeah, I got you.
There are some garbage games this weekend, to say the least.
Yeah, I got you. And then obviously the NFL starts, I think it's 2 weeks from Thursday. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. Just so, after Labor Day.
Yeah, so we're going to definitely jump into those sports. I know you had talked about you wanted to do a little soccer action, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I've got a few soccer tidbits we could drop in on the listeners, too.
So maybe we can start by just talking about, generally, when you look at, when you're going to try to make a bet, you know, for our new listeners here, when you're trying to make a bet, what's the first thing you're checking and where are you getting the information?
The first thing that I use is an application that I that's called the Action Network.
Okay.
And it's fairly new to the space. It's a very young company. It started earlier this year. Mm-hmm. And they have a mobile app that I use where it shows all of the odds for the books that I have accounts with. Obviously, I currently live in Illinois, so I am an online bettor. Mm-hmm. I've got some accounts at different offshore books. They shall not be named at this point until they decide to sponsor and pay us.
Perfect.
I use a couple of apps where I check the spreads, because if there's a game that I'm interested in, I would like to check the game line at all across the books that I have accounts with, okay, so I get the best of the number.
Right, right.
So I'm usually using the Action Network. Oddshark.com is another great resource where you can find tons of stats and game lines and over-unders. You can search for records against the spread by coach or university, mm-hmm, or NFL football teams too.
Are you also looking at, you're trying to kind of match up differentials, like if you're seeing any differences amongst the lines or the over-unders? Is that how you're trying to gauge?
Yeah, certainly. I'm looking at where the market has been and where it's headed. Another key thing that you find in these apps is you can see where the opening line was and where it moved to.
Good.
For example, just tonight, I know this will be outdated, but the Baltimore Ravens opened up as a 2-point underdog. And as of kickoff right now, the Ravens are now 2-point favorites. Hmm. So you can obviously see that there's some money that's coming in on Baltimore now. Trying to determine if that's public or pro money, mm-hmm, is a whole nother ball game.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. Okay. So then, you know, for me, I'm not that sophisticated of a bettor, but I'm definitely on the sports side. I look a lot at matchups. I look at a lot at information that's available. What information are you looking at? I mean, I'm looking at injuries. I'm looking, uh-huh, at matchups within, if it's a divisional game, if it's an old rivalry matchup, maybe if it's a NFL, because I'm more NFL based. You know, pass defenses and things like that. Are you getting that specific?
Yeah. There's another site that I use for stats called teamrankings.com.
Okay.
There's kind of a new metric that's come into the marketplace recently, and it's called yards per play. That's something that I really, really focus on when I'm looking at matchups. You can look at yards per play offensively versus defensively and even aggregate yards per play. Mm-hmm. Historically, teams that are going deep in the playoffs and very successful against the spread have great yards per play averages and differentials.
That makes sense. I mean, you got to look at the data, and it's a lot of data out there, but hopefully we can cut through a little bit for you guys. But I think the important thing is if you want to make an educated wager, it's better to do a little research, you know, not just like Steve said earlier, just pick your favorite home team or whatever. And you can totally do that. It's an entertainment-based business. But at the same time, dig into the numbers a little bit, you may get an edge.
Yeah, absolutely. Wags, are there any other resources that you use to make your picks?
Well, I do a lot of things. I create indexes and things like that, indices for myself based on the teams a lot of times. I mean, I'm doing a lot of deep informational data, especially around playoff time with the NFL because all the information's out there. Early in the season, it's difficult. You know, there's obviously Pro Football Reference has all the statistical information you need. ESPN usually has all that information as well. But early in the season, it is kind of a crapshoot. I mean, you don't have enough data to match it up. I've been doing an against the spread pool for the last 4 or 5 years with my buddies, and we pick every game against the spread. Now, granted, every time it has the, whatever it's called, the tail or whatever, you know, the 0.5.
The hook.
There it is. There's another term.
Another glossary term.
But so it's never a push in our case. Mm-hmm. But I've personally tracked basically, I try to do percentage. It may not work, but I try to do percentage over-unders and, you know, against the spread, home teams, road teams for every week of the season for the last 3 seasons.
And how's your record been?
Well, it depends on the year. Last year was not too good. It was under 50%.
Wow, that's a losing season.
Yeah, 2 years ago it was like 54%, but everybody did well that year.
Sure.
But I like to look at that statistical information long term because for me personally, when I'm picking against the spread, I'm looking at, hey, if you had, you know, 10 out of 16 underdogs win in a given week, I'm pretty sure it's going to flip back the next week. And if it's not the next week, it's the final week. It's always going to hover around that 50%, right?
So,
So for me, I'm doing a little bit of my own research, and then obviously I'm doing in-game research because I'm not usually betting on individual games. But
okay. So would you call yourself at this point more of an NFL gambler?
I would, definitely. I haven't really bet. I mean, NCAA, it's a little bit different, as you know.
Yeah.
For basketball, I do a lot of pools. That's my thing. But not in college. College, to me, and maybe you can dispel this for me, but I get scared by the huge spreads that in college. It's really hard for me to accept you're going to have a 17-point favorite, and you're going to accept that. You know, but Alabama's going to roll everybody, right? The other thing with college, I mean, it's changed so much, the game. They score so many points. I have to accept that these lines, the over-unders are so high. It's just hard. The NFL is a little more predictable, maybe not with the new rules, but it has been traditionally.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the Big 12 last year, the average total was like 65 points. It was outrageous.
It's unfathomable, yeah.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into some college football here, likely in the next episode. We'll give you a little primer before the season starts, talk about some of our best bets, and maybe go through a couple of season win totals too, which is another way to gamble that we didn't talk about too, but we'll hit on that next week.
You definitely should.
We should go through some NFL preseason discussion here,
sure.
Because obviously there are lines out there, and some of you may think it's degenerate to gamble on the NFL preseason, but let me tell you, there are some money to be made in the preseason.
Yeah, from what I've heard, that there's a lot of differential and inefficiencies in the preseason that you can take advantage of, so...
Yeah, I mean, we already talked about the overs. Obviously, week one was far more profitable than week two. But, you know, some of the other tidbits that you can look at is really if you follow coach speak, the interviews that these coaches are doing before games, leading up to preseason games, they'll pretty much tell you what their game plan is. You know, oftentimes they might say, I'm not playing the starters. John Gruden last weekend played zero starters because they have the Rams on the schedule in a couple of weeks. So that right there can tell you a little bit of information about how a coach's mindset is going into the preseason games.
Yeah, a lot of times they hold out for injury. They hold out certain players that are coming back from injury, like a Carson Wentz or something like that. So that definitely will affect the line. And in some cases, they're adding new players. I mean, the thing about preseason football in the NFL is that you've got a huge amount of players that are just going to be cut within the next week. So they're on showcase, really, for all the other teams. It's really not about the result of the game. It's about them getting an opportunity to show their performance. So it's really a changing environment than your regular season for sure.
Yeah. And another big change too that you'll see different than the regular season, and we'll go into this in so much more detail, I'm sure, is key numbers. When you're talking about football point spreads, obviously you as a long life football fan will know that games usually end on a 3-point spread differential, 6, 7, mm-hmm. 10. There are common numbers that you'll see throughout the history of final scores in football games, and that's college and NFL alike. Yeah. So oftentimes when you're shopping for lines out there, especially when the regular season starts, you need to be extra careful because 3.5 versus 3 versus 2.5 is a totally different handicap.
And you were saying the other day, when we were talking about this, that in the preseason, they may not follow those lines necessarily because teams are going for two, you know, randomly just to try a play, or they may not even care about the results. You know, so it's a lot different in the preseason.
Absolutely, yeah. It happened in the Hall of Fame game this year. The Bears and the Ravens went for two at the end, and they lost by one. So, you know, when you're picking preseason games, you definitely probably, I wouldn't say throw the key numbers out the window, but they're less important. That's for sure. That's why you'll see a lot of gamblers might go with the money line in some cases. They think a team's going to win, so they might forego the point or 2 points. For example, and they'll just play that team on the money line. So they might get them at plus $1.20 or $1.25, which means plus $1.25.
Gotcha. Well, hey, I'm a new segment. We're creating this today. I think we should go head-to-head on some of these picks this week. So, you know, we'll do a head-to-head.
All right. Should we? There's a couple of games here that I've highlighted that are upcoming in the preseason here, week 3 slate. Starting off with the Thursday night Super Bowl champs, Philadelphia visiting the Cleveland Browns. Have you been watching Hard Knocks, Wex?
Oh, of course I have. I love Hard Knocks.
Bless them.
Bless them. Bless them.
Well, that's another angle that I think we should talk about. Historically, the Hard Knocks team has been overvalued in the market.
They have. There's no doubt.
And so I think you'll see, and I'll even speak to this now. I mean, Philadelphia is instilled as a 2-point favorite against the Cleveland Browns. Are you kidding me?
I know. That seems crazy. But what I will say is I don't know if Wentz is going to play. And it looks like, what's his name? Foles is hurt now. So who is their third guy?
An Indiana University product.
I hear you. The Hard Knocks factor, it's been every year those teams do terribly in the league, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched a few of the episodes already, and if you asked me or my roommate, they might say the Cleveland Browns are going to be world beaters this year. Yeah. Jarvis Landry is making one-handed catches and falling all over the sideline and blessing DBs left and right.
David Njoku looks like he could run through a brick wall. The guy's like ripped within an inch of his life.
All right, so who you got?
All right, if you're going 2-point favorite Philly, I'm going to take the Browns.
Okay.
I'm buying into the Hard Knocks bias.
Okay, all right, here's our first week one pick, head-to-head. Action Roberts will be on the Philadelphia Eagles to win and cover by 2 points.
That's right, and Weggs gets the 2 points for the Brownies. All right, I'm excited.
We got another hot game here on Friday night, I believe, is Seattle playing in Minnesota. Now, Minnesota's another good team this year, and they're listed as 3.5-point favorites. Another hook there, and just a 0.5 over the key number of 3.
And you got a note here. It says, battle of coaches who love to win preseason games.
That's right. Yeah, I've looked up a few of the coaches' notable preseason records, and I can tell you right now that Pete Carroll is 34-14 in the preseason.
Wow, that's incredible.
And Mike Zimmer is no slouch either, 12-5 in the preseason in his young career.
So they don't care about the point spread.
No, they came to win in the preseason, obviously.
Right. So it's in Minnesota, I can take it. Seattle on the roads. Minnesota's favored by 3.5. I picked first. You can pick this
All
one.
All right. I think that I am going to be on the Minnesota Vikings to cover and win this game by 3.5 points.
This guy loves the favorites, folks. I'll take Seattle. I'll take Seattle. No problem.
Okay. All right. I like the over in this game, too. 40.5. That seems kind of low to me. Although it is week 3, obviously, you see the starters play a little bit more, and Minnesota's offense has been looking good.
Yeah, that's definitely an over situation for sure. All right. Let's go to the next one.
Okay. The game 3 that we have here, also a Friday Night Lights battle, is going to be the New England Patriots at Carolina. And Carolina, interestingly enough, is a 2.5-point favorite in this game. Over-under is 42.5.
Yeah, looks like I am taking the dog again.
Okay, the New England Patriots for Wegs. I don't know if I like the Carolina spread. However, for the podcast, I'll take it. I'll take 2.5. The number that I like most in this game, and I'm, in fact, I've already made a wager on it, is the over, 42.5 points. Both New England and Carolina have gone over in both of their first two preseason games, and I like them both to make it a third running.
Yeah, how much did New England score last week?
In the 40s, I believe.
they beat the over by themselves this, for that. So okay.
That's right.
All right, well, last game, Detroit at Tampa. Tampa's a 2-point favorite. It's a little higher over under at 44.5.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you like in that one?
You know, again, I don't know if I could pick a side in this game. Detroit has looked pretty good in the preseason. Matthew Stafford is slinging it from all arm angles. Tampa has looked good as well. Jameis Winston has come out hot. They've got a couple of receivers there. DeSean Jackson is off to the good start, as well as Mike Evans. I think this game is really could go either way.
Yeah. Well, let's do the – you want to do an over-under bet on that
one? Yeah, sure.
I'm going to say that one's going to go under.
Under. It's a high total, 44.5, especially for preseason games. But, again, I'm going over in this game. These two defenses are piss poor, and I think it'll show again on Friday night.
And like you said, Jameis has been slinging it because he's going to be suspended. So he's trying to show that he shouldn't be cut from the team.
Yeah, he's getting his work in now, that's for sure.
That's right. Awesome. Well, we got the four. Just to review, I got the Browns plus the 2. I got Seattle plus 3.5. I got New England plus 2.5. And I've got the under at 44.5 for Detroit at Tampa.
All right. Well, good luck. We'll see how we fare on next week's show. Maybe we can keep a season-long battle going.
No doubt. No doubt.
Another sport that has been hot this summer is baseball. Historically, I haven't really been much of a baseball bettor. But to be honest with you, Wegs, I'm getting into it this year. The Action app has helped. I'm reading public percentages. I'm seeing where the amount of money is going to in the Action app. And I've kind of developed a little bit of a system that I call for myself where I like to follow reverse line movements.
Okay.
We didn't talk about this during the glossary portion of the show, but another term that I like to call or that I like to use is a reverse line movement. And using the bet splits, you can easily see where one team might be getting a majority of the wagers. For example, the New York Mets are hosting San Francisco Giants tonight, and the Mets are getting the majority of the wagers. However, you can see that the line has been shifting in favor of San Francisco, where they were listed as plus money, and their number is coming down. So I'm just following what I like to call the sharp money, otherwise known as a reverse line movement, where the majority of tickets are going on one side, but the line is going in the opposite direction. To me, that's an indication of sharp money. So I like to use that in terms of baseball betting. I also target underdogs a lot.
Okay.
Baseball is a different sport where rarely will you bet point spreads. Typically, they are offered for most games, but the majority of professional and novice gamblers alike will just pick the money lines in baseball. And oftentimes, that's tied to the pitching matchup.
Okay.
Historically, though, if you're betting underdogs more often than not, you don't even have to come close to that 53% that we talked about earlier to be profitable because you're winning more money every time as opposed to betting on the favorite who is a heavy favorite and you have to wager more money.
Right. So that money line bet, you can actually pay less or pay the 100 and win a lot more versus the favorite. You're going to be basically not losing money, but effectively losing money.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could bet favorites all night long. And if you're making the same $100 bet, if you go 2-2, you're going to lose money.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're betting favorites, you have to hit a way higher percentage than you would normally betting spread games for other sports.
And so for you, you're targeting the pitching matchup. You like a pitcher in particular that's going to go against that and the money lines in your favor.
Yeah, I mean, pitchers can get hot, obviously. We've seen some pitchers historically that have gone on very good runs. And, you know, honestly, those pitchers are going to be priced as favorites too.
Mm-hmm.
So you normally wouldn't find me on them. My real bread and butter is just going to follow that reverse line movement.
Great. All right, so for those of you guys just new to the podcast, first episode, this guy loves his soccer. Action is a soccer guy. I'm not a big soccer guy. I know about soccer. I like soccer. I watched it during the World Cup. I won our pool. Thank you.
Yes, but you did.
I know nothing about the Premier League or any of these other leagues. So clue us in, actually. What do we got out there?
Wags alluded to it, but I grew up a soccer player ever since I was a five-year-old. I was out there kicking the little black and white ball around and really have played ever since then up until more recently where age got the better of me. So now I consider myself a soccer gambler instead. You know, some of the leagues that I really like to focus on are the English Premier League and Great Britain. And I also do a little bit of wagering on MLS games. Recently, as this weekend, Serie A, Italy wager as well.
All right.
Some of the things that I look for is another new metric that's kind of hit the industry recently and the internets, so to speak, is an expected goals number.
Okay.
There are some folks out there who are crunching the data, and what they do is they take information from where shots are taken within the field, and obviously shots that are taken much closer to the goal will get a higher weighted average than a shot that's taken further back. Essentially, what they're doing is trying to assign a value to each shot that's taken.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking at expected goals for, and they're also evaluating expected goals against, too, to see how those teams are stacking up and how many goals they might score in a 90-minute game.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the things that I use. For those of you who are interested in soccer, you'll see that in the past 2 weeks in the EPL, there are a few teams that have really rose above the rest. Manchester City, Liverpool, and Tottenham have come hot out of the gates, going 2 wins out of 2 for each and all sitting at 6 points at the top of the table. Chelsea are there as well, a little bit less convincingly in their 2 wins. In fact, Man City have absolutely crushed their opponents and will be difficult to stop this year or find a wagering angle. Mm-hmm. As you can see, they are -357 favorites this weekend against Wolverhampton Wanderers, and I just can't justify betting on them at that price.
So just to restate that, you have to bet 357 to win 100?
That's right, yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Or $35.70 to win 10.
Okay, there you go.
They've scored a whopping 8 goals through 2 games. They won 6-1 this last weekend. They lead the league in expected goals at 3.1 per game, which is outrageous. I mean, most soccer games average about 2 to 2.5 goals per game. Mm-hmm. Man City by themselves are expecting 3 a game.
So are you using that expected total for the over-under, or is that what you're looking at for betting?
I've used it for over-under, total betting as well. I like to see what defenses are especially leaky.
Okay.
Those who are at the bottom of the table in terms of expected goals against, obviously that shows you that their defense is not playing well and they're giving up a lot of good scoring chances. I do use it to pick individual games as well, but another big factor in soccer too is form. You'll hear it in all kinds of European soccer circles where they talk about how a team has been performing recently in their last 2 games, 3 games, 5 games. Any team that's on good form typically continues that run, especially if they're playing at home.
Okay, great.
This weekend, one game that I definitely have already targeted is, as I mentioned earlier, against Manchester United. They're playing like crap right now. Jose Mourinho has come out and really have shown no confidence in his team, and when they're out there, they're showing no confidence either. Anthony Martial yesterday looked terrible. Their defense was awful. They lost 3-1 against Brighton Hove and Albion. And next weekend, they're hosting Tottenham. Tottenham Hotspur is now tied for first in the table, and both teams have opened up as +170, and the draw is +215. So that means if you bet 100, you win 170, or 10, you win 17. Mm-hmm. You could also pick the draw and double your money, essentially. But for me, I'm going against Manchester United again. They obviously have looked terrible, and Tottenham have looked great. So I expect Tottenham was going to come out and win this game, rather convincingly, in fact. And I think they'll be runaway victors. I also will be going over 2.5 goals because Manchester United's defense is horrible. Tottenham also has shipped in a couple of goals this year already.
All right. Some hot picks for you.
Yeah.
This is our first podcast, but you can also follow us on Twitter at SideActionPod.
You can also reach out via Gmail. We have a Gmail account, sideactionpod@gmail.com.
All right, again, you can follow me individually at Wegspool on Twitter. Also, I have a blog, wegspool.com.
And my, again, Steve Roberts here. You can follow me on Twitter, 31SRoberts.
Yeah, so we'd love to have you follow us and obviously like our podcast, tell your friends, spread it around. We're trying to get a following here, guys.
Yeah, we may be posting some plays on Twitter, too, as we get going on here through the season. Obviously, we're going to start a little bit slow, but if we build some momentum, we may be posting plays there as well.
That's right. We want you guys to win, too.
Yes, indeed. That's a wrap for episode one of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro music credits. Song title District 4 by Kevin MacLeod and Compitech.org. License under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0.